on out there, everybody. And thanks again for joining us here on Expanded Perspectives with me, Cam Hale, and sitting next to me, the Lunger himself, the man that's barely alive, Mr. Kyle Filio Filson.
How's it going, everybody? Yes, I'm here in Skeleton Studios. Freedom Filson. I'm doing well. I'm getting better and better, stronger and stronger every day. I feel better.
You sound great today, man. I look better. I don't know about that.
Well, I look better than I did. That doesn't mean I look good. That just means I look better.
That's not hard to do, though.
No.
You only had two places to go, up or in a hole. That was the only two places to go.
Speaking of Freedom Filson, I was watching live PD last night after the hockey game. And there was a guy on there. He was a street person, and his nickname was Freedom.
But it wasn't spelled with a PH.
No, it was not. But anyways, I thought that was entertaining. The cops asked him how he got his name. He said it was given to him when he was in prison. Not sure why.
Is that where you got yours?
Yeah. Yeah, that's when I got mine.
Freedom.
Filson. Ever since I adopted that moniker, though, my life has just been in turmoil.
Well, you got to work harder for freedom. Yes.
It's a constant reminder. But yeah, no, I'm doing good, man. The weather's turning nice. Spring is
working out
air.
Good for you.
Punxsutawney Phil was correct. You know, what is that? The groundhog. I didn't realize that a groundhog and a woodchuck were the same thing. The only reason I say that is because Luke's a big fan of the Geico commercials with the woodchucks that are always throwing the wood, you know,
just stop chucking my wood.
Yeah. And, they were asking me questions. I was like, you know, I don't think I've ever seen a woodchuck. I've seen squirrels and chipmunks and groundhogs, prairie dogs. Well, I mean, not groundhogs, but prairie dogs and all sorts of things. So, you know, like Luke likes to do, Luke's Googling it. And yeah, it turns out a woodchuck's the same thing as a groundhog.
So he has been researching the whole thing now.
Yeah. I didn't know they were the same. I've never seen a groundhog either. I've seen prairie dogs and what like high powered rifles will do to them out in West Texas.
Firsthand. Anyway, let's see. Luke loves with the crazy research and all that. Have you had him watch Groundhog Day?
Oh, with
Bill Murray.
No.
Do you like that film?
Oh, I like that film. He doesn't have the patience for that. It has to have some kind of monster in it. Something like that. you know, something Star really, Wars creatures. If it doesn't have anything like that, then no, he's just not into it.
Do you know what I read about that movie alone?
No.
That somebody did the numbers of how long it would take for him to learn everything. You know, he's stuck day after day after day in that town. And so they were figuring up how long it would take for him to learn all the things that he learned about everybody in the town, all the new things that he learned. Like he's playing the piano, he's singing songs, you know, he's driving the bus, he's doing all this stuff. They said it would have taken him reliving that same day like 30 years to learn all that.
I don't know why. Now, how crazy is Siri all of a sudden?
How crazy is 30 years reliving the same day?
Now, how would they go about figuring that?
I don't know. But it's like everything else. You go online, you start looking on Reddit, you start looking at all this stuff. They have a formula of figuring up, you know, what it would take you to learn to play the piano that well, how many days of playing all that it would take, then how many days it would take of interactions with people to where you finally broke them down enough to where they would be willing to talk to you. Like if you just walked up to somebody on the street and started talking, they're going to walk away. Right. They're going to feel awkward. But if you did that enough to where you would get little remnants of information from them every day, you would finally walk up and be like, "Hey, Susan, aren't you from Toronto? Don't you remember me?" And then you'd go into that because you had broker down a little over time, or the same, you know, his buddy. And all. So it would take days. And they've kind of figured that formula up to know, okay, it would be 30 years worth of time.
Wow. Yeah.
That's a long time.
It is a long time.
Yeah, it would be. But can you, I'm living the same day over and over. Ugh. Ish.
You were talking about learning piano and things like that. Are kids these days learning stuff like that? Because I know at my house, they just simply do not have the patience to learn almost anything. Like it's become such a culture of instantaneous gratification that they're not into anything. Like, you know, I've talked about it before. Caleb shoots his bow at archery stuff, and you can tell the frustration. And I'm like, "What's wrong?" Well, I just don't understand why I can't hit the bullseye every time. And I'm like, "Well, it's called practice," and it's like it's a new thing for them. Like they don't understand because everything in their world is if you want to watch that movie, I watch it now.
Yeah,
if I want to upgrade my character on whatever video game, I just spend the money and I can upgrade it now. Like there's no
work.
There's no work. There's no like putting in the time. And I try to explain to him like that's the enjoyment. It's the journey. It's going from being garbage to being good. It's the time it takes. That's the reward. They're not interested.
Not, they will be. It'll happen. It's just going to be. I think you're right. I think it's harder for kids these days to embrace that because it's so much. Because like you and I've always talked about, you hear all these parents getting mad at their children for playing video games or not wanting to go outside and do things that we used to do. But you and I've already agreed because we played video games for the longest time. Is if we were kids. And we could have gotten on a video game system, put our headphones on, spoke to each other, and played and never left our house, I would have probably never left my room for the longest time. I understand the draw.
I definitely understand that.
But, I get caught up in the same thing. You ever get caught up to where you want to watch something, and then it's like it's buffering, and you're getting aggravated, and you've got to back out and start again. And then you realize you're like, what am I doing? Like, I can't wait 60 seconds for this to take place.
It used to take, 10 minutes to download some photographs of something off the internet. And now, like, you're instantly pissed if you can't live stream a UFC fight illegally. Yeah. And then it's like buffering for 10 seconds. Yeah. You're like, what?
Why is this not working flawlessly?
Yeah. Well, now my kids have become aware that you can do internet speed tests. And so now they're pissed all the time. Like, well, like, how come it's only like 200 megabytes per second? Like, that's not near enough. Why don't we upgrade? And you're like, dude, you realize how fast that is? That's like good for anything you need to do. No. I need to. I'm like, gaming. Are you uploading and downloading like giant, massive files to the internet I'm not aware of? And it's because they didn't know it even existed. And I guess they saw it on YouTube.
And then
so now they're constantly testing and they're like, hey, dude, the ping is like not as fast as it needs to be. And they're looking at me like I need to do something.
Yeah.
Like get up off your ass and get us some better quality. I need Google Fiber here. You know,
give me some ping.
Yeah. I'm trying to build some scaffolding on this Fortnite or whatever. Get up off your ass. I need Google Fiber. You're like, what?
That's the kind of grief you're catching from your kids.
Yeah. Never ends. I'm like, I was almost dead 2 weeks ago.
Remember what I told you a long time ago?
Yeah.
It still holds true. You were in the hospital near death. Now that you're back out, dad's okay. Dad's back about six rungs down. Like, you're not important anymore. Just go make that money. Just get out of here.
Yeah.
Like, oh, dad's fine. See, I told y'all he'd pull through.
Did you have a good Valentine's Day?
I had a wonderful Valentine's Day. We went and ate. My wife and I took my wife and my daughter out. And then all over the weekend, my wife and I went and I took her out to an early lunch, kind of like a brunch. And then we went and got, I went and bought my wife a new shop vac. She wanted a new shop vac.
Oh, you're one of those guys, right? Buys gifts for others, even though it's something you really want.
No, I've got one. She wanted one. She wanted her own? A smaller one. Yeah, because the one I got, like most tools when I buy them, I overkill it a little bit. So, like, it's like, what's the biggest shop vac you got? Let me have that one.
That's what I do.
So, it's so obscene. There's no reason to drag it around. And when you turn it on, it sounds like a jet engine running in your house. So I got her like a smaller, and then we ended up going to get pedicures, and then we ended up going to get a massage. So we had massages and pedicures and new vacuum.
Man, I didn't do anything. We just grilled some steaks and some lobster tails.
Well, that's something.
Hung out. We did go to Texas Day Brazil like 4 days prior to that.
Well, that's awesome.
Yeah, it was really good. You know, it's just one of those Brazilian, I don't know what you call them, where they keep coming around with big skewers of meat. You just turn that puck over green.
I didn't know there was a red side for the longest time.
Yeah.
Did you get into the salad bar?
I did. My problem is since I've been released from the hospital, my appetite's not very much, so I got full pretty quick. But I'll tell you, that's the hack at Texas Day Brazil. If you go there for lunch, it's the same as the dinner, but it's only like $20. So why not just go there for lunch?
And try to tell yourself you're not going to eat at the salad bar, but it doesn't work.
I fast. I'm like, what's the guy that eats all the hot dogs?
Joey Chestnut.
No, I'm thinking of the Japanese guy.
Oh, Joey Chestnut's Kobayashi. The champ.
I start expanding my stomach lining with
Kobayashi's
water.
Second place. I'm not listening to this.
But he was the title holder for a long time.
Yeah, he's not now.
Whoever this loser. Andy Chestnut guy is. I think I played softball with Andy Chestnut.
I know some Chestnuts. Mm. Taylor. Yeah. Mitchell.
All right. Well,
I got something. Care. I got something.
Let's get into the news.
This goes in with all of our British family over the pond over here. A few weeks ago, I spotted this on Live Science, and I've been waiting to see how this plays out. And it's interesting. Live Science posted that British X-Files of UFO sightings are going public, that the UK's Ministry of Defense will publish secret UFO reports for the very first time, Philly. Says from the early 1950s until 2009, a department in the United Kingdom's Ministry of Defense, the MOD, the M-O-D,
mm-hmm.
documented and investigated reports of UFOs. And now, more than a decade after this program ended, I'm going to go ahead and put my interjection of allegedly, many of those formerly classified files about these sightings will be made available to the public for the very first time. Now, some MOD files about the UFOs have been published online, of course, at the National Archive website for the UK, but all of the agency's reports now will be released this year on a dedicated gov.uk webpage. Now, this was a spokesperson for the British Royal Air Force was talking to The Telegraph discussing all this. They go on to say here that the decision came after the PA Media, a British news agency, filed a request for the UFO files under the Freedom of Information Act. And according to The Telegraph, the MOD officials decided, and I quote, it would be better to publish these records rather than continue sending documents to the National Archives. So it goes on and it talks about how it spiked the fascination in the right. 1950s, and it prompted MOD to form this flying saucer working party.
Mm.
And that they went through it. And since the early 50s, of course, they've gone and done all this stuff. And it even says here that Prime Minister Winston Churchill sent a memo to his air minister in 1952 asking, and here's another quote, what does all the stuff about flying saucers amount to, and what can it mean? What is the truth? So there's a heck of it. And like I said, this article goes on. Mindy Weisenberger, the senior writer there at Live Science, wrote about this whole thing. It's a great little article, but it's also something that you and I've been discussing off air, is it seems to be more and more people, more and more, let's say not people, but governments are starting to slowly open the filters because yeah. of what has happened with favor from what has come forward with our buddy. Come on, help me out now.
Which buddy?
Corbell. That just, I just went,
oh, Jeremy Bob Lazar, Corbell,
Bob Lazar, some stuff. And of course, yeah. with Lieutenant Favor and all the things, the Tic Tacs. Yeah.
I feel like we're on the precipice of something yeah. coming. And the government knows it, so they're trying to get in front of it by releasing all this stuff.
That's like exactly
somehow
what it feels like.
Like maybe they're in contact with these said extraterrestrials, and the extraterrestrials have given them a date. Like, hey, you know, if you don't let everybody know that on June 8th, 2022, we're going to come out of the oceans, we're going to come out of the skies, and we're going to announce our presence. So we're giving you a little time to break them in. Because it seems like all of a sudden, nobody's hush-hush about it. Everybody's like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're aware. And they're releasing stuff. People are coming out. I mean, don't – of all the conspiracy theories we've covered on this show and all the people that, you know, we know have been assassinated over time, you don't think it'd be easy to get rid of Bob Lazar or the David Fravor or any of these whistleblowers? You know how easy that would be? I mean, if you can assassinate a president or somebody else – a high-ranking official or civil rights leader, you don't think you could just get rid of a scientist, a metallurgist?
Yeah.
Of course. The reason they're not is because it's like it's all coming to the zero point hour. Like there's something that's coming out. They can't stop that. So instead of denying up until the date that that happens, that they're like, yeah, we've been actually watching UFOs. We didn't stop when Project Blue Book when Project Blue Book ended.
I used to have some of those sunglasses.
Blue blocker. Man, those things are awesome. I like the new one now where it's just a visor you put down that, like, apparently fighter pilots use. Have you not seen these commercials?
Look how anyway, easy I see it is I get to get sidetracked.
But it's like they know they can't deny up until the point. So now they're like trying to pretend like they're the nice yeah. guy. Like, oh, yeah. I'll tell you what we're going to do. Come here, buddy. We're going to start releasing information. We're going to make it public because you guys are right. We shouldn't be holding this for ourselves. We're going to start coming forward because now through the work of Tom DeLonge over there at to the Stars Academy, like there's just a lot of things coming out and the government doesn't seem like they're interested in suppressing it where they have been very interested in suppressing it this whole time, our yeah. whole lifetime. Now they're not too worried about it because to me it feels like there's something inevitable coming and they can't stop it. So
yeah,
they're going to try to come clean, right? Speaking of aliens and UFOs, imagine Cam being abducted and not only finding out that you've been abducted, but realizing you've been abducted more than one time.
I don't want to know anything about any of that.
Imagine not just knowing you've been abducted, but waking up in the morning and discovering blood all over you in your bed. Kind of like the scene from The Godfather when the guy
wakes up.
Oh, that's
happened to me before.
With the horse's head. Remember that? Check this out. It says, one early morning in the winter of 1990, I awoke from a very deep sleep, feeling nervous as my heart pounded heavily. It was around 3:35 a.m., and it was still dark outside. I sensed that there was someone in my bedroom, but all I could see was a spot of light in the corner by my dresser. Suddenly, several hands grabbed me from all around the bed. I attempted to scream, but could not. I couldn't move or say anything. Nothing came out of my mouth. Within seconds, I found myself lying on a cold, hard table, completely nude and terribly uncomfortable. I looked around me, and there were four small beings in hoods and loose robes standing around me. They were conversing with each other, but I couldn't understand what they were saying, since it sounded like young child's gibberish. I felt something touching me all over my body, but I could not see anything. The beings' faces had a weird glow, with sagging folds of shining skin. After what seemed like forever, these beings slowly moved aside, and this human-like man walked up to my side. He was tall, bald, and had very pale skin. He also had large round eyes and was very slim. He came over to the table and started to talk to me in English. He said calmly that he was perplexed that I was so scared, since he made it clear that last time that we had met, he would return and ask me to do a favor. He then turned and raised his hand, gesturing to a woman who walked into the room. Now she seemed to be a normal human female. It was quite beautiful. She had a small bundle in her arms and walked over to me. It was an infant, but it had pale skin and didn't look quite human. The tall man instructed me that he wanted me to take the infant and care for it. It needed the love of a human mother, since their race did not understand emotion or love. I told him that I couldn't because I already had a child, and it was hard enough raising my son alone, since times were difficult for me currently. He raised his head up and down as if agreeing with what I said and passed his hands across my eyes. I must have passed out because I awoke and found myself back in my bed. It was daylight, and I had figured that I'd been gone for about 5 hours. When I tried to get out of my bed, my legs and hips were very stiff and sore. I carefully stood up and noticed two large spots of wet blood on the bed sheets. The experience with the beings was still fresh on my mind, but I had absolutely no idea that I had endured any probing or any kind of surgery. A few days later, I decided to schedule a doctor's appointment just to make sure I was okay. The doctor recommended a full physical, since my blood pressure was higher than usual and my ankles were slightly swollen. An appointment was made by my local hospital for x-rays and blood work. To make a long story short, I returned to my doctor's office a few days after the tests were performed. And when I walked into her office, she asked me to sit down and explain that my right kidney was missing. She said that it was probably missing since birth and just never noticed it before. I found this hard to believe since I had given birth to my child and have had other x-rays in the past. I just agreed with her assessment and was instructed I would need to start taking hypertension medication and would need to be regularly monitored. I am positive that these beings removed my kidney and performed other experiments on my body. Though it has been almost 20 years since that encounter, I know that one day they'll be back. So
wait a minute.
Yeah, you heard me right.
She's given birth before.
Yeah, to a normal human child here on planet Earth.
Yeah, but they've never said anything about, oh, did you know you didn't only had one kidney or any of that stuff?
That's right.
It makes me feel like, no, she had them both at one time.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know what I mean? Like, I believe her. Maybe they did take them.
Yeah, I think they did.
Got
take
a sneaky
took
way
one
of them.
Taking
took
a
one of them. Yeah, at least took, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think
you that's crazy. No, you don't. That's because you would think that would be something that your parents would tell you. that the doctors would have known, like surely a checkup, or even say your parents didn't know. You were born without one. That's just the way it was. You were rocking along. You would think that during like your birth and, you know, and all that, they'd be like, you know, you've only got one kidney.
Yeah, you would think it would cause medical problems, right?
Or at least maybe not a problem, but something that they would notice. They would be like, you know, there's a little telltale signs. Of course, I know this is going to be hard for all y'all listening to believe. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a medical doctor. I've not really done any doctor work.
Not a medical doctor, but you are a doctor in like research and things
like that. Yeah, sure. Yeah, I'll do that. Yeah,
you can get an honorary degree, can't you? Like the Universal Life Church.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
There are places where you can get like, you can go online, just have a doctorate, just print it out and like, you know, of your the profession of your choosing.
I think I'm going to do that.
It's like $30.
Didn't we see like one guy was being a doctor in a Connex box and had a bunch of ladies coming to him or something?
I definitely. Yeah. Yeah. He was giving gynecological exams out of a Connex or a shed, tool shed out of his backyard. This was in Florida, I believe.
That sounds legit.
Yeah. Once again, ladies, don't, I mean, you know, it's a guy's doing that out of his shed. It's probably, I know it's cheap. Probably cheap.
There's a reason.
Yeah, there's a reason. I wouldn't do that. I have had people now. I don't hold a doctorate in anything, but I have had.
Really?
I have had.
Surprising.
I've had others approach me through email and one time in person at a conference, wanting to know how they could become a cryptozoologist. And I told them,
pretty easy.
Just you are one. Like just I like when you knight somebody. I had a roll of paper in my hands. I kind of went on their both shoulders. Yeah, you're one now. And they looked at me like, what? I'm like, it's not a real thing. Anybody can be a cryptozoologist.
Instead of like ash on your forehead, you rub like mud because you're out in the field, and then you got to do the Holy Trinity or whatever.
If you're listening to this and you want to be a cryptozoologist, be one.
Right.
Like it doesn't take anything.
We're going to go ahead. You are one. If anybody asks,
I mean, you just go out in a park and start looking around in a tree for an
tell them we said
animal.
You're one.
Yeah, you're one.
You're what?
It's that simple.
You're a cryptozoologist. All right. Hey, while we're on cryptozoology, let's take a quick break. When we get back, I'm going to get into that exact field, but it's something that's going on here in Tejas. There's a few other places it's happened. I had actually posted something about it a while back, and now there's a few more stories we're going to dig into. So when we get back, we're going to start looking into tales of hyenas in America. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives. Yo, y'all. Like I said, we're going to, like Luke used to like to call them hyenas.
Yep, hyenas.
Hyenas. So, and I believe I have actually talked a while back, a long time ago, we were discussed, and I'm going to get into some more stories of the Shunkawarkin, which was like a black dog or a hyena-like dog.
What is it? Was
the Shunkawarkin, which was, it's Native American. It's a Native American spirit that's like, I think the Awayendas Indians.
I think
they're supposed to be. Like a, it's almost when they describe it, before we get off on this, they describe it sloped, like lower in the rear end. Okay.
Yeah.
They describe the feature supposed to be very short muzzle, kind of like hyena style, hyena style features. Things along those lines.
I think I ordered that one time at PF Chang's.
How was it?
It was good. I had some lettuce wraps with it and a spring roll. Very, very tasty.
Shunkawarkin.
Yeah.
Not, wasn't bad. Wasn't bad.
I think it was a brand of sake.
Right. Yeah.
I had it piranhas.
Now, there's always been these tales of through the American West of people that claim that they have seen hyenas and that they were American hyenas. Now, like I said, if you go back deep into the Native American tales, they describe something that they reported looked like that, something very similar to that. And even other tribes, they start talking about some. They said that they didn't look like wolves, and they weren't like even in wolf territory, okay? They were in different areas. Like this American hyena, that we'll call it, wasn't in the same areas and ranges that you would find wolves. Now, they generally describe them often as being black or even a dark red, and they were very shaggy, which was kind of funny. You know, I don't ever picture a hyena being shaggy, but they were talking about these things being shaggy. Now, during the time, they said that white settlers also thought that they had seen this thing and that some had even killed them and mounted them as trophies. Now, of course, as most of these great stories go, there's no place anybody can find these mounted American hyenas, right?
Right.
I don't know where it's at. Have any idea? The only way it would be able to tell, I'm sure, is if you would could find one, if there was enough. When you go through the tanning process, it destroys the DNA. So if you could ever have some DNA enough to where you could test it, maybe you could have found out what kind of, if it was a wild dog, if it was just simply like you and I have discussed blue dogs where they look like mangy coyotes. They're built a little different. Like they talked about with the chupacabra, the way it looks here in Texas isn't anything like they describe in Puerto Rico. It looks almost like a whole different species of coyote.
Nothing like the ones in Puerto Rico. They're not reptilian like. It looks like a dog, which I also, you know, I was just watching the Westminster Dog Show the other day. I just happened to be channel surfing.
Sure you were.
Jobbed it on there.
You've never missed one.
Like they had a Mexican hairless dog on there as well as some other breed. I don't remember the name of it, but I'm like, here it is. It's known to roam southwestern United States in the northern Mexico. I mean, looks like it could be a chupacabra to me.
Yeah. I think that it's a lot like some of maybe our history is the way there was a lot more hominids. We already know that there's a type of coyote wolf cross. I discussed that a few shows back that they found down here in southern Texas. So why couldn't there be something along maybe used to once time, maybe not now, but, you know, once or maybe even now, maybe that they are kind of like the thylacine, right? That they're just little hidden pockets throughout these areas of them.
Well, there definitely was a North American hyena that existed in America.
Yes.
It died out during the Pleistocene. So about 780,000 years ago is the last time they think they were around.
The same as like the North American jaguar or the North American, the cheetah.
So
the American Serengeti cheetah.
So if you can see ghosts of humans, why couldn't you see the ghost of a once existing North American hyena?
Hyena. That's right.
Right. I mean, why is that not possible?
So that leads. Well, of course, it's possible. That leads back into this. The Adirondack Park in New York. Back in 2010 in the Southern Adirondacks, which is America's apparently largest wilderness park, this fellow writes in and says, my wife and I saw what can only be described as a hyena chasing several deer across the road. Now, lucky for us, again, I reached out to Lon. Lon's like, hey, check all this out. He's my go-to guy.
Yeah.
Right? And so he's the encyclopedia of some strange and unusual stuff. Says that this animal literally stopped dead in front of the car, staring back at us for 10 seconds before it moved off. Says, I have been in the woods my whole life, raised with a gun since childhood, and spent my summers on Lake Champlain, which made me think of Champ right there. Right.
Yep.
The person writes that I have hunted, fished, instructed archery and rifle range, hiked, even coon hunted at night, owned horses, ridden horseback through the wilderness, and presently live with all kinds of wildlife on my lakefront creekside property. And I had thought I had seen it all, but I had no idea what this was, other than to say it was a hyena. It was very large, 150 to 175 pounds. Now here's what's strange. Listen here. Long, bushy tail, brindle, wiry, spotted, brown, black, and gray coat with a powerful predator build, thick lower jaw, rounded, diamond-shaped, triangular head with rounded ears setting high on the head, and what appeared to be a mane running down the back, originating on the neck. Its hind legs were noticeably shorter than the front and much thicker and more powerfully muscled than the front, so that the animal sloped down in the powerful rear. I have seen countless hyenas on Discovery in National Geographic and Wild Kingdom as a kid, and there is no other option than this strongly resembled a spotted hyena. So I immediately went home and searched it. And amazingly, it said that the mountain hyena once roamed the Adirondacks and Appalachians. Well, I have news. At least one still does. My wife and I, with me at the time, actually called New York Econ at Raybook. And when we got home, got laughed at, even receiving an errant email back ridiculing my report, which was accidentally sent to me instead of an Incon co-worker. Now, this really made me mad as I made friends with my local Incon worker who liked to use my property to catch poachers. Although we do have an animal park at the end of the lake, when I called, they assured me that they have never had any spotted hyenas. I was only shortly after, or it was only shortly after, I saw the Monster Quest episode describing a similar animal in Maine, while the Shunka Warican was well known to the Iroquois as the dog killer. The supposed animal, famous mount, seems far too small and pig-like to be what I saw. Now, its legs are far too scrawny, and it seems far less canine than what we saw. Also possessing a longer straight coat and thinner snout. It's funny that this person writes that it seems far less canine whenever hyenas aren't canines, right? Aren't they cats?
No, I don't think they're either.
Are they like some other kind of species altogether?
Yeah, they're odd creatures.
But what this person's describing is a freaking hyena in New York, in the Adirondacks. Now, if you look at pictures of that part of the world in the Adirondacks, you could understand where it'd be easy to lose something up there.
Yes.
It's beautiful, and it is thick and heavily wooded. Now, he goes on to say that my property has creek, lakefront. It's got fish ponds, deer, coyotes, foxes, eagles, fishers, turkeys, ducks, herons, owls, geese. Goes on and on. He said an occasional black bear. This fall, he said, there was a yearling moose. I've seen it all, and I can identify all of it. But I've never seen anything like this. As close as I can come, it is a spotted hyena. So we take that story from New York, and we jump further down south. We jump into 2015. Now, there is a thing called the Paranormal Roundtable, all right, on YouTube, I believe. And they did a whole story about hyena cryptids. And these stories I have to share with you. Now, this one comes from Austin, Texas, where a fella said that a man working for a computer firm had just arrived in Austin. He'd only landed the job and was still getting moved. And one night, 2 days after arriving in town, he left work and was driving home when he observed a large or big wolf-like hyena-looking creature running on all fours beside his car. He goes on to say that it kept pace with him. Now, they don't tell you the speed that the man was traveling. But he says that this creature looked part wolf, part hyena, and appeared to, you ready, have hands. It ran bizarrely and eventually veered off into the woods.
What state was this?
This is in Texas. It's in Austin.
Jesus.
Yeah. There was another one, though, here. It says in Alexandria, West Virginia. It says a truck driver was hauling a load near Alexandria that he claims that he was attempting to avoid a pothole when he accidentally veered off the road into some bushes. He managed to get back on the road, but as he did, he observed something weasel-like pop its head out from the brush. It then jumped back on two legs and ran off. Says it looked to him like a giant weasel with a hyena face. It had claws or hands and short, stubby legs.
I wonder how big it was.
He never does really say the size when you talk about the weasel thing.
You know what I'm saying? Is it weasel-sized or is it like the size of, you know, 7 foot tall? Like how big is this creature?
I'm going to speculate that it was probably dog-sized because if it was weasel-sized, how would you be able to see after you're driven past the size of its legs, its face, and its hands?
And what's he doing swerving off the road?
Right? He's dodging potholes, man. So again, in 2015.
Makes me wonder if. Had to be.
There was the jazz cabbage involved.
Drinking a little or something. I mean, I understand. I ain't hate. But at the same time, this is when you're reported to see a weasel-like hyena-faced creature right. with hands.
When you've been off in the bottle a little bit. Now, here's one from San Angelo, Brud. And I know it's been a while since you've been down there. So it says, in 2015, an elderly woman was driving with her niece and her dog in San Angelo when they decided to pull over, let the dog out. To do its business. As they waited, a large hyena-like creature came from under a nearby fence and attacked the dog. The hyena creature then proceeded to stand up on two legs and walk back towards the fence, at which point the elderly woman attacked the creature with her cane, allowing the dog to scamper away from its grasp and back into the van. The dog had a punctured lung but survived. Police investigated the area and they believed that it was simply a coyote, though the woman and the niece believe otherwise. So this old gal, something grabbed Fluffy and she went into action and went to whipping an upright walking canine hyena-like creature with her cane.
An upright canine hyena.
A hyena. Yeah, that was dog size. Come out from under the fence. Now, look, I'm down with seeing, like, okay, you've seen dogs shoot out from people's backyards and come out and all that. Now imagine it grabs it and then just stands up on its back legs and just has its swag as it walks back to its
cage. I can't imagine that. Well, I refuse to imagine that. I can't. Can't bring myself to it.
Not even going
to
play that game with them?
I can't. I can't believe that's real.
So here's you another. This one comes from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Mm. LSU, baby.
Yeah.
Go Tigers. This is from the mid-70s. All right?
Oh, yeah.
The mid-70s. Now, one of the hosts that describes this, that was on this paranormal roundtable, is talking that this involved a family member of theirs. And says that, and that's what sparked this interest. And he goes on to say that his grandfather was a man named J.D. and was a truck driver. And his grandmother was named Sophie. And they were driving near Baton Rouge, Louisiana, when they observed something come out of the woods and move towards the road on all fours. Now, as they approached it, the creature, which they described as looking like, ready, a hyena, stood up on two legs. The back legs were short while the upper part of its body was bulky. Now, the grandmother thought this was the weirdest thing. Now, the host, of course, in this show goes on to explain that he spoke to her in 2005 before she passed and that her story never changed. And that the grandfather, which did not believe in any of the paranormal, had told the host, too, about another strange encounter he had near Marfa, Texas. And he claims to have seen not one, but a few of these bipedal, I believe, coyote creatures, it says here. Coyote-like creatures or coyote people wandering around a small canyon area.
What?
Dogmen. So if you have dog men, right, we've had them, we've discussed them, we've had people on that talk about this, that they've seen them.
Yeah.
Why can't you have hyena men?
I mean, you're right. Where does it stop? Right.
What was I know you're going to know exactly this, is it Skinwalkers? What's the one that's the Stephen King story with the movie where they're cats? Remember?
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about. I can't think of the name of it now.
But why can't there be upright walking like mountain lions? Like, why haven't seen mountain lion people?
Yeah, like, remember the in True Blood, Stackhouse. Remember he was friends with the
panther.
The panther people.
Yeah, they were the panther people.
I never know what happened to that. Like, that storyline just kind of dropped.
Yeah.
Anyways, but you're right. Like, why is it easy to believe in Sasquatch or easy to believe in dog men? Because we've seen werewolf movies, but you're like upright walking hyenas. Totally ridiculous.
Yes. Yeah. Right. It can't be.
Maybe it was dog men. They just resemble hyenas.
Maybe.
Because hyenas do kind of look like dogs.
Oh, I was being that to be just a little bit of a smart ass, right? Because you would know. You would call them a dog the minute you saw it.
Yeah.
Like nobody, you know, it's when you look at it, you're like, oh, yeah, that's just a dog. Because we all go off the way things are built. You know what I mean? Like
sure.
You look at them, you're like, that moves like a cat. Okay. That moves like a dog.
And we talk about it all the time. Your eyes will lie to you because
when
you see something, your brain tries to fill in the gaps, right?
Tries to make sense for
you. It's going to be like, oh, that looks like a hyena to me. And somebody else might look at it and be like, no, that looks like a chow chow to me. You know what I'm saying?
So this took place in Pennsylvania in mid-2017. I said, I wanted to inform you of a possible sighting my mother and I had about 6 months ago while in the process of moving to Waymart, PA in Wayne County. All right. One night while we were driving back down to New Jersey, we drove past what we thought at first was a hyena. It was on all fours. Looked like it weighed about 200 to 300 pounds. It had rather long brown black fur, especially around its shoulders, where it stood up a couple of inches from the body and had a sloping back. And it was on the opposite side of the road walking towards us. Now, we only caught a glimpse of it, and we were driving on Route 6 in Pike County, traveling around 55 miles an hour, so it wasn't like we had a lot of time to study it, but it really freaked my mother out. Now, I'm much more skeptical, so I wrote it off as a black bear with some type of birth defect or deformity, but after hearing that others have reported something similar in the same area, I thought I should do the same. It's from a lady named N. But now we jump up into Stamford, Texas, back in 2013. So in Stamford, it writes, at 11 p.m., a man was driving his mid-sized Toyota with his wife in a very rural forested area. Now, for those of you that don't know, Stamford's north of Abilene, Texas.
Oh. Not that far from here.
No, not that far.
Abilene's like, what, 115 miles from here?
It would be about an hour and a half, probably. Yeah. Now, as they drove, they claim they observed an object in the road, and the wife initially thought it was a tumbleweed. And as they got closer, they realized that it was not a tumbleweed, but an animal of some kind. It began to give chase on all fours. They described it as an enormous, prehistoric-looking, almost horse-sized hyena.
Horse-sized?
Yes. It reached from the back of the front door to the front of the car, and it was as tall as the car. It had rings around its body, which culminated at the top of its head. It also had a ridge or a hump on its back. It ran alongside the car and even bumped it, putting a dent in its side, before eventually veering off into the woods.
Now, how do you explain that?
A horse-sized hyena.
That's what I'm saying. How do you explain that?
And they were close enough to see it, and it bumped the car and dent the car. You don't mistaken a horse that's in the. And first of all, not every Texan has horses and sees horses and all that. But I'm going to go ahead and tell you, when you live out in areas like that where Stamford is, you could pretty much say that every one of those Texans have seen a horse.
And it's definitely familiar with the size of it.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, you wouldn't mistake a house cat for the size of a horse. You know what I mean? Like,
no.
You don't have to be a quarter horse trainer to know
what horses look like.
At least relative size. So say it was she misjudged the size, and it turns out it was only the size of like a Shetland pony.
So it still wasn't 15 or 16 hands. It might have just been like 11 hands.
But still, even if it was the size of a pony.
Yeah.
How do you explain that? And for people out there, ponies don't grow up to be horses. They are two separate animals. I met a person not too long ago. They thought like a pony was like a little horse. Yeah. And then a pony became a horse. I'm like, no, man, that's a completely different animal.
It's a little bit different. Yeah, like a Shetland. Just that. It's just a different species, just a smaller species. You don't, especially when they're that close to your car.
Right. So that would give you something to scale the size of the creature you were seeing, right?
Because yes.
You're in your car.
Close enough to touch it.
It's as big as your car. Unless you're driving one of those little smart cars, you would be like, you know, this thing's the size of my Crown Vic.
Yeah, right. As you're rolling down through there, I can't imagine a horse-sized hyena.
No, because I think spotted hyenas are probably the largest in Africa. They're about the size of like a Great Dane or Irish Wolfhound. I mean, they're large.
And they look, they're so thick.
Of horses.
Like, what are those where it shows like those gang members in Africa that's got them like as pets on chains?
Yeah.
Those things are terrifying. Yeah. Hyenas are scary looking, man.
Oh, man.
Just scary looking.
First of all, if you ever watch any nature docs, I mean, they're very annoying. I understand they have to be opportunistic to survive. Yeah. But when you watch like a lion or a cheetah make a kill and it's trying to feed its cubs, and then here come these annoying hyenas.
Here comes 25 hyenas show up. Yeah,
they steal it. They just look annoying,
jerks.
Right?
They're real jerks.
I mean, I have to say, when I watch the male lions destroy them, like a small part of me feels good.
Oh, I cheer for the lion all the time.
Take that. Take that.
Yeah. I cheer for the lion all the time.
And I don't know why. What? Like, why are some animals, you know, you're okay with, and other ones you're like, nah.
Like, I like sloths. I'm down with always trying to help them.
I don't understand how they're alive.
What I like is all the big cats, they just lay there and take their eating. They're just like, here it comes. And they don't, there's no, what's their defense?
I'm serious. I don't know how they still are a thing. How does it survive from being born to adulthood without something in the jungle jacking it? Because the jungle, everything is constantly attacking each other.
I think they've lived this long because I think over all these years, even primitive man used to help them things out.
The only thing I can maybe is they taste horrible.
Maybe.
So like cats and stuff are like, nah, I ain't messing with it.
Nah, they eat them.
They do.
Yeah, you can pull up some videos of them things getting jacked by like big birds swooping down and grabbing them and all that stuff.
Like a harpy eagle. Oh, I'd like to have some sloth tacos.
I would eat one if somebody was like, hey, look.
Put it in an Instapot. I bet you if you put it in there for a couple
some
of
onions,
hours.
Onions, some potatoes, a few peppers.
Some maju.
Right? It'd be all right. So back on this little kick, now we're talking about in the early 1990s out in Odessa, Texas.
Mm-hmm. Just drove through there.
A bunch of Odessa oil workers were leaving work around 9 p.m. And they had piled into a pickup truck and began driving down a road. The other workers were following behind in another truck. When something came out of the forest, it says here. Which
forest?
There's no forest. There may be some brush, but there's no forest out there, folks. Yeah. But this thing come out and actually bit the tire of the truck. Says the driver swerved and was lightly clipped by another vehicle. They apparently had run over the creature, which took off running into, you ready, the woods.
Well, you know, when you're working on the rigs and you know, doing a little crystal and you've been up for 4 days. You
oh, could there's probably, trees and stuff out there. Yeah, but it's
not like.
You can
imagine a hyena biting your.
You want to make sure you got to be real careful. But it goes on here that says, get ready for this. The numerous witnesses on the scene were shocked by the creature, which they described as a hyena-like beast about the size of a large hog. They guess that it weighed between 400 and 500 pounds.
Mm.
It had a tail, which was tucked between its legs. When it came out of the woods, the witness claimed that it appeared to do so with a purpose. And the creature was on all fours throughout the encounter. So we don't have any more crazy, I'm going to walk off style stuff, right?
Yeah.
Now, this last one I want to read to y'all comes from a Reddit user back in 2014 named Anna Banana 00, right?
Okay.
Love these names. And Anna Banana sends this. Says, my friends and I went to Mexico for a holiday. We rented out a bungalow with some woods and stuff at the back. They went out to get more beer and just some shopping, and I was left behind to have a shower. After yelling that they were going to double lock the door, they left. Now, the shop was about a 15-minute walk away, and I was literally just going to wash my hair, make some tea, and watch some TV until they got back. About 5 minutes went by, and I heard a knock on the front door. Now, this is crazy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Weird is my friends have keys to this apartment. I just guessed that they were too lazy to use the keys and forgot something. I literally got out of the shower with bubbles in my hair and was walking towards the door with a towel just wrapped around me. The door had a panel of textured glass in the middle, and I could see this massive entity standing there. My friends and I are quite small, and the guys have blonde hair. This thing looked big and black and was very tall. Whatever it was, it's tapping on the door, and I'm standing in the entrance to the kitchen just peeking around the corner. I don't want it to see me. And I slowly crouch down and crawl to the sofa, and it's still just tapping on the door. After what seems like ages, it just walks off, and the textured glass is just back to normal, with nothing on the other side. My friends come back, and Jake just quickly opened the door and goes, oh my God, Amanda. We were walking back, and we turned the road where the room is, right? And we see this massive thing. It looked like a hyena. That's all I can describe it as. But only it was walking on two legs. At least someone else saw it. He's still going on. Yeah, and as we saw it, it started making a weird yelling, growling noise. I swear to you, Amanda, it walked off on those two legs and back into the forest.
Wow, another dogman-like sighting.
Another dogman-like sighting. So, we have crazy hyenas, crazy dogman sightings, and... I'm going to wrap it up with this. Okay.
Sure.
Now this is more of the dog men, not necessarily hyenas. Lon received this, and this is something that I like. I just like the way the whole story works out. They were two huge cryptid canines got after a couple of fellas in Southern Ontario. Now Lon talks about that. He received a phone call from a fella that identified himself as RM. And then RM started telling about him and three other men were attempting to harvest a marijuana crop that had been planted in a cornfield back in October of 2017. I said that the corn had been, that all the tall thorns had been standing about 8 to 10 foot tall, and that the feed corn harvest was about to take place and it was time to pull the weed. So this is what the fella RM says. We got into the field and fanned out. It was farthest to the right. Straight ahead in the distance was a blue flash of light that originated in the cemetery. It looked like it was 10 to 15 foot off the ground, and then there was a loud crashing thump like something heavy fell. Then a few hundred foot to the left, the exact same thing happened, like a blue ring-shaped flash of light. These things tore out of the trees and into the corn at an incredible speed, faster than any live creature I'd ever seen move. Supernaturally fast. Whatever they were, they began to bluff charge me and my friends, running at me three or four times and stopping just outside of the range of direct sight, maybe two or three rows of corn away. They were as big as grizzly bears and as fast as race cars. They were going between me and my buddies. Then I saw the head and shoulders of one, a large wolf-like head with pointed ears and broad shoulders. The head had no neck and was situated directly on the shoulders. It was a terrifying sight. There was zero doubt in my mind as to what I had just seen. It was 10 feet away at the max. Just then it charged me from the front and left, and then my buddy's dog came in from the right. I thought it had been flanked and almost shot the, or I thought I had been flanked and almost shot the dog, who was losing her mind at the time, whining and whimpering and shaking profusely nonstop. At that point, I started praying to Jesus, and the two dog creatures, or whatever they were, instantly turned and hightailed it out of the cornfield back towards the cemetery. So my buddies and I found each other, and the guy said that they had been charged too. The guy who had driven us there said he had seen it. I told him I did also. I continued to pray as I looked in the direction where I saw them run off to. We had a serious job still to do. There were thousands of dollars sitting in the field. We got things harvested and wrapped up, ready to move out of there. Well, they doubled back around on us because when my friend and I were struggling with dragging the big blue tarp full back along the tractor access route, we passed a large bush. One of these creatures was right there. My friend screams out, "There's a wolf." As I looked up, it was running like a man on two legs. The creature only ran about 10 feet into the woods and stopped dead in its tracks. My friend and I were ready to go, and he says to me, "Is it coming back to get us?" I just started praying out loud again, and nothing else happened. We dragged everything to the car. Because it's a little hatchback, someone had to stay behind. So I thought, well, this is great. There's something seriously messed up going on here. That only seems to be kept at bay by prayer. These guys don't know that I've been praying, so one of them is going to get killed if I don't stay. I think that it was the Holy Spirit protecting me, and I strongly felt it. So the dog and I stayed behind and spent the next hour on the road. As she whined and cried and freaked out, I was praying and holding my ground. I did notice that one creature came up behind the embankment that was along the entrance to the field and stood there pacing back and forth. I then saw another creature was now on the other side of the entrance road behind a huge blackberry bush that hangs over the ditch. It was no more than 10 foot from us. The dog was freaking out so badly that it almost got me. I thought she might just drop from a heart attack. Every time I see the dog now, I know she is remembering it too. She just gives me a look and starts shaking. She has strongly bonded to me since that day. I was never so happy as when those headlights came back over the hill and my friend pulled up to get us. It seemed like forever that we were on that road, but in reality, it may have just been an hour tops. When we got back, my friend said, "Did you see the size of that dog, bro?" And I just looked at him and said, "I do not want to talk about it."
And we're back with Expanded Perspectives. Wow.
Right? Come wild ass hyena and dog man. But the last, okay, we've discussed this and it's always fun to talk about. Why are the dog men so hateful? Why are they overly aggressive?
And this took place in Ontario where these people
Ontario,
saw,
yes.
And it looked like when it's pacing back and forth, the one.
My question is to this, why you got to harvest the weed at night? Is it maybe because, was it illegal at the time?
I'm sure.
You know, so they're harvesting it because I would think harvesting weed at night wouldn't be a good idea, but I understand if it was 100% illegal.
I mean, yeah, I'm assuming it was legal, but yeah. Like what, once again, this, and there's a lot of dog man sightings. This was on in Ontario, but lots of times in Wisconsin, Michigan, up there in that area. What could you mistaken that for? How could a group of people be out doing something at night, whether it's shady or not, and they see what looks like a troop of dog men?
Yeah.
Or like reminds me of that movie Dog Soldiers.
Yep.
Remember, that was an awesome movie. Like, what are they seeing? How can...
Well, I like how they said that there was a blue light that originated over, like, by, of course, there's always a cemetery, but like this crazy blue light and the way it originated, and then you could hear physically the sound of something dropping in.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like they're being dropped off from the mothership, or they're coming over from the other side. You know what I'm saying?
Man, I don't know.
It's crazy, but okay, so we go back into it with the hyenas.
Yeah.
Why do so many people see now, as we always say, so many people, when you do, of course, was there less than a 24 stories? But still, where do these hyena sightings come from? Because nowadays, like we've discussed, it's more openly acceptable for you to report you see something that looks like a Bigfoot, right? And it has been for several years. And also, with them making it more popular on television, of course, it's going to bring out some more trolls. But with you making it more popular about black-eyed kids or about dog man, people are going to be more apt to report those. But when you see something that looks a hyena, hyena-like, nobody reports seeing that because everybody – so what I'm getting at is if somebody was to see one and they didn't – you know, they just saw – they wouldn't really report it because you'd be like, there's no way that was real. I am losing my mind because nobody sees a hyena in North America.
And if it was a normal-sized hyena, that would be one thing. Like, especially in Texas. I'd be like, yeah, somebody
– but a 500-pounder?
Had a private one in their collection and it got loose. But one the size of a horse or a 500-pounder, I mean, that just – that doesn't make sense. That defies belief because it's not, that's not a normal thing, even for the plains of Africa.
No.
Hyenas don't get that big.
It just doesn't work out like
so
it, that. No.
So what could they be seeing?
Texas-sized hyenas.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I have no idea.
What if it's some crazy, like, baller out of control drug lord that's having, like, these hyenas are...
being genetically
yes, they're genetically altered. Yes, for them to be like security dogs.
Sure.
For their place.
That's possible. It's like right here's the meth lab. Right here's our where we make our production of heroin.
You remember.
And right here we create a giant
hyenas.
Hyenas, Cerebus-like hyenas.
Do you remember the old movie Swamp Thing?
Yeah.
Okay, so you remember like the crazy pig guy?
There's actually
and all
a
that
new
stuff?
There's actually a new one coming out.
Oh, is there really?
Yeah, Luke's already showed me the trailer.
Okay, I'll have to watch that because I liked the old one.
Yeah.
So I think
one of the ones
the
had like
guy.
Heather Locklear when she was really young, remember?
Yeah. Yeah, and then the Swamp Thing dude was huge. He's a great big guy, and he was like a scientist. So I think of stuff like that when they make the pig guys and all the pig and all the different crossbreeds. Yeah. I think of stuff like that. So I always like to leave y'all with some funny historical stuff and then a good dad joke. So I've got some crazy historical stuff to read to y'all. And I think, Kyle, you're going to enjoy this.
Okay.
Have you ever heard of the Operation Blue Peacock?
No.
All right. Back in 1957, the British Army, of course, was a little worried about the Soviet Union and thought that they might sneak over and invade into West Germany. So the British Army came up with a plan called Operation Blue Peacock. All right.
Okay.
So what they wanted to do was, now this sounds like a lovely idea, they built nuclear landmines.
Okay.
Yeah, you heard me. Nuclear landmines.
Doesn't sound like a good idea, but...
each one of these landmines, Kyle, had half the capacity as the bomb that was dropped on Nagasaki. Each one of these landmines, all right?
Jeez. Well, you could definitely space them out quite a bit, like one per county.
You would definitely know if somebody got on one.
Yeah.
So there was a... first of all, they wanted to bury them, but here's a problem, all right?
There's definitely
multiples.
A problem.
The main problem was the mines needed to be warm to detonate. So they had to be warm.
Okay.
And of course, winters in Germany, in West Germany, are a little airish, if you will. So they said, well, what we'll do is we'll wrap these mines in these fiberglass pillows like this insulation, is what the British troops said. That's what we'll do. We'll bury them all wrapped up. They'll stay warm. But there was another proposal. This proposal was they took these casings that they put these mines in, okay?
Yeah.
And they put enough bird seed or chicken feed and water in it, and they were going to pack it with chickens and have live chickens buried with these mines. And these live chickens would live and eat and drink and finally die, but they would be in there long enough that it would keep their body heat, would keep these mines warm, ready to trigger, because they're not talking about leaving them. They just knew, like, if they invade, we can keep these chickens in there for X amount of time. So they were going to secretly bury nuclear landmines and chickens in some countryside, but they knew this wasn't, of course, and then the Ministry of Defense, the MOD come up and was like, hey, look, this is not going to work out real well.
No, this is a horrible idea.
Because they said, what we don't want is to contaminate the rest of Europe. So they finally canceled the whole idea of this thing a year later.
Operation Peacock?
Operation Blue Peacock.
Wow.
Is what they were going to set off explosive chicken bombs in the Allied countryside around West Germany or whatnot of this whole thing.
Wow. Now that sounds like a terrible idea. It's hard to believe that was a real story.
So I tell you that story to leave you with this, Kyle. Why do chicken coops have only two doors?
I don't know.
Because if they had four, they would be called chicken sedans.
That's a good one. I like that.
So I hope y'all enjoyed some crazy chicken. We've got animal humor and strange animal oddities on today's show.
Yeah, man, that's very interesting. I don't know what people are seeing. Once again, I leave the show more confused than when I arrived. So often the case. If you have any stories or sightings of your own you would like to share with me and Cam, please email the show, expandedperspectives@yahoo.com. Cam, what do you got planned for your week?
I've got a lot of work to get done because of the way the weather's been sidetracking me. I have a lot of sampling I have to get done and get things caught up for this whole week. But yeah, it'll just be go, go, go. This week will be, you know, pretty busy. I got some stuff I got to get lined out at work. So.
Yeah, I'm about the same. I've got lots of work and continuing education. So try to keep my nose to the grindstone. I hope everybody out there has an amazing week. Be careful. Give somebody a hug. Till next time, I'm Kyle Filson. He's Cam Hale.
Peace, y'all.